So, what part of for better or for worse you don't understand? This is always my first question to the spouse who comes to me and says, "Pastor Wayne, I'm calling it quits with my marriage. I'm done with it." The response back is almost always the same. "I'm not the one who broke our marriage vows." "I understand," I reply, "but you also promised for better or for worse." When Yahweh promised the people of Israel, "I will be your God and you will be my people," it wasn't a contract God was making with the people of Israel. God made a covenant, and there is a difference, a huge difference, between a contract and a covenant. With a contract, if one agreeing party does something in violation of the contract, then the contract is considered broken, null, and void. The signers of a contract agree to hold up their ends as long as the other signatories hold up theirs. But with a covenant, both parties agree to hold up their end of the agreement, regardless of whether the other party keeps their part of the agreement. A violation of a covenant by one party doesn't matter as far as the other party's responsibility to continue to do what they agreed to do. God is going to be your God, and you are going to be God's people. And even if you stop being God's beloved child, even if you should tell God, "Look, I don't love you, God. I don't love you, and I don't want you for my God," God will respect that and will go right on loving you. That's the difference between a contract and a covenant. God will keep right on loving you for better or for worse. Matthew portrays Jesus in today's gospel as the new Moses, giving the people God's commands. From the get-go, the covenant with God spelled out how God's people were to love God. "You will have no other gods before me. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's why Jesus could say last week, "If you lust in your heart or lust in your mind, you have committed adultery." You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In today's gospel reading, Jesus continues his teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. But he takes the commandments to a new level. "Do not resist the evildoer. If anyone should strike you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." What is especially harsh about Jesus' words this morning and last week is the notable lack of exceptions. Paige Bearn-Shartle, who writes for the homiletical journal Celebration, argues the need for some exceptions. Exceptions as in, love your enemies except your parents who were really pretty bad at parenting. Love your enemies except your sibling who is greedy and is taking more of the share of your inheritance than they're entitled to. Your business partner who cheated you, your boss who didn't promote you, your best friend who betrayed you, an ex-spouse, a spouse, your kids. And here is the one that gets me. What about The United States of America's Olympic women's hockey team. There is no forgiveness. I don't know if you saw this or not, but I'm telling you, there is no forgiveness to lose when you have a 2-goal lead with 2 minutes to go, for crying out loud. I mean, seriously, what was the coach thinking? I mean, didn't these women have any heart? How could you do something like that? How easy it is to find exceptions. And the easiest way to find an exception is to simply demonize those that we want to hate. That way we don't have to forgive them. Shortle writes, we like to demonize them a little bit, secretly hoping they will do something unforgivable. Many a husband or wife who I have counseled have taken more than a little satisfaction in telling me their spouse committed an unforgivable sin. Some have even said to me, and I have Jesus to back that up. We all have enemies. For some, the enemies are those who desire to destroy our nation. For others, it is our current president, Barack Obama, and his administration. And for some, they still can't get over it. Others, including the former president and those who voted for him. For some, the enemy is those who criticize our own evangelical Lutheran church in America. For some, the ELCA is too liberal. For others, it is too conservative. But for many ELCA Lutherans, it is those other Lutheran bodies that we like to demonize. Well, that's because they demonize us, right? There needs to be an exception here, right? No. No exceptions, for better or for worse. Depending upon where you live, for some it's minorities, or maybe it's the rich, the poor, the refugees, or especially those who want to get into our country. Whoever it is, Shortle says, we tend to think that my enemy is the exception. My hate is reasonable. And not what Jesus was talking about. One of my colleagues a couple weeks ago, in a text study that we have every week, said that she was reluctant to preach on this text because I'm pretty sure Jesus is exaggerating. I don't think he was exaggerating at all. I think he means every word of it. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus was doing something new. He was not exaggerating. He was doing something completely new. He was establishing a new covenant between God and God's people. The old covenant had passed away, for Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The old covenant was made with the people of Israel, but Jesus was making a covenant with all the people. When Jesus takes the cup in the supper in the upper room, he says, this cup is the new covenant poured out in my blood for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. What Jesus is saying is that there are no exceptions. Whatever it is that we have done, whatever it is that we have left undone, whatever part of our responsibilities that we are required to keep in this covenant God made with us, God intends to keep the promises God made with us in the new covenant. No exceptions, for better or for worse. God knows our weaknesses, knows our sin. Sometimes it is necessary for a relationship like marriage to dissolve. For the sake of the health of the individuals, be it physical health or mental health, and sometimes even spiritual health. We were all saints and sinners, a work in progress, always in need of forgiveness. And this is God's promise to us, really God's covenant with us. God is going to uphold God's part of the deal for better or for worse. God will not stop loving you. God will not stop forgiving you. God will not stop calling you by the Holy Spirit to return again and again to this throne of grace, to receive again and again that promise of the forgiveness of sins. The sealing of a covenant in ancient times was always done with the shedding of blood. Why blood instead of ink? Because blood symbolizes life. The old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, was sealed by sprinkling the people with blood. Now God seals this new covenant with us, by shedding his own Son, Christ's blood, for you, for me, for the world. It is Christ's blood that gives us new life. First washed in the waters of holy baptism, God makes that promise to us, that covenant, for better or for worse. There are no exceptions. Because we are imperfect people, sinners and saints, who love to demonize our enemies, both personal as well as national, rather than love them or pray for them, we are often in need of having to come back to that table to hear again that for better or for worse, we are forgiven. For better or for worse, God offers this invitation to us. Eat this body, drink this blood, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so once again that we might receive that new life that is the very body of Christ. For that is the body that we take into the world. It is not about trying to keep some kind of law or be perfect, for our perfectness is made perfect in Christ. And to be perfect in Christ is not taking satisfaction in that somehow I kept a law that you didn't, or that you can't be forgiven, or that others too cannot be forgiven. It is to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit to forgive one another with patience and humbleness, with being open to those who criticize and challenge us, for better or for worse. God is always ready and willing to forgive us and to set us again on the path of faith, that is, trusting in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting. For better or for worse, God loves us then, now, and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.